Several years ago, I attended a memorial service. The mother of a church member had passed away, and she was a lovely lady, lived a long, good life, was a believer, and so everybody knew that she was home in heaven. And my friend stood up during the service to speak, which, as you can imagine, was a hard thing for a son to speak at his own mother's service. And I talked about his mother's faith and how kind and good a mother she had been. And he talked about how she prayed every day for her family for long, long periods of time. She would pray for her family. And he said, she prayed for me more than I prayed for myself. And I think everyone there could kind of understand what he was saying. And then with tears in his eyes, he asked those who were gathered, please remember to pray for me, because if all of you will think to pray for me each day, that might make up for her not being there to pray for me. Do you know any prayer warriors? I imagine this room has a few in it. People who spend long, long periods of time each day praying. You have that gift of faithful prayer, powerful, effective prayer. Most of us, of course, don't spend hours on our knees every day. But God does invite all of us to bring our needs to God, to come before Him. There's an open invitation to pray whenever we can, whenever we think of it, to bring our needs before God. And God not only hears our prayers, but He's promised us that our prayers are effective, that our prayers make a difference, that there's a reason to pray because it does make a difference in this world. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the Spirit's role in sanctification and making us more holy, making us more like Jesus. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts and how the Spirit empowers us to honor Jesus and to serve the church through the gifts that the Spirit gives us. And today we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And we're going to look at just two little verses from Romans chapter 8 that give us, I think, some secrets into a deeper and more effective prayer life. So Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. From what I can tell, prayer is the most common spiritual discipline that we all practice. Of course, we gather here to worship every Sunday, and that's part of our spiritual lives and how we honor God, but prayer, I think, is what we do most often, right? Every day, I imagine most of you pray several times every day, even if it's just, you know, a few seconds before you start your lunch or before you go to bed or first thing in the morning, or maybe you have a devotional pattern where you read God's Word and then you spend some time in prayer. But I think we pray more often than any other spiritual discipline. And yet prayer still remains for us sort of a mysterious thing. A little bit hard to understand and to get our minds around, what is it that we're doing when we pray? And what are the results of our prayers? I imagine that every single one of us, even maybe especially those real prayer warriors, those of you who spend long periods praying each day, but all of us, I think, would like a deeper, more meaningful prayer life. I think all of us would like our prayers to be more effective, to be more powerful. And this little passage that comes, you know, Romans chapter 8 might be the most important chapter of all of Paul's letters. Right up there, one of the most important passages in all of Scripture, and right in the middle of that chapter are these two verses that teach us some secrets about prayer. And I call them secrets not because they are things we don't or can't understand, but because there are things that are revealed to us here that maybe we hadn't thought of before, but then you read these verses and you come across these amazing truths of what the Spirit is saying to us about His role in our prayer lives. And so I hope as we think through these passages, these words, that you will hear God speaking into your heart about how you pray and about how the Spirit wants to be a part, a more meaningful part of your prayer life. The Spirit wants our prayers to be powerful and effective. But the first secret to prayer is that prayer flows from weakness. Prayer flows from weakness. Powerful prayer depends on our understanding that we are in fact weak. You see, prayer starts with our need for God. We need to stop trusting our own strength, our own wisdom, our own power, and turn to God saying, I can't, but you can. And that's why we pray, isn't it? If I could solve all of my own problems, then why do I pray? Why would I even need God? If I can just accomplish all that I need to accomplish, handle all my own issues in life all on my own, then why bother praying at all? But it's when we realize, I can't do it, God. I can't accomplish, I can't deal with, I can't overcome on my own. And then we say to God, but I believe that you can. And that's where prayer begins. I have a friend who was, during college, he was an ocean lifeguard along the shores of Maryland. And he said that when they were trained as lifeguards, they were taught that when somebody's drowning, you can kind of picture, you know, in the ocean, the waves are coming in and somebody's way out and the lifeguard sees them struggling, they're in trouble, they need help. The lifeguards were trained, you swim all the way out to them, but you don't save them, you don't touch them until they stop struggling, because if they're still struggling and you try to grab them and bring them in, they're going to pull you down under the waves with them. And so the lifeguards are taught, you wait until the person stops kicking and stops struggling, and then you pull them to safety. And it reminds me of Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And that's where prayer begins. It's when we enter into that stillness, when we recognize our need, when we see our own weakness before God. Paul writes just a couple of chapters in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul writes, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he says that God spoke this to him during a difficult moment in Paul's life when he was praying that God would overcome a difficulty that he was facing. He said that God spoke into his heart that God's power, my power, God said, is made perfect in your weakness. And again, that's where prayer begins. And so Paul writes here in chapter 8 of Romans, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I think all too often we try to control God when we pray. I don't know if you pray that way. I know that I do sometimes. We tell God what to do, what I want God to do. God, I've got it all figured out. If you would just listen to me and go do what I'm asking you to do, then everything would be okay. And instead, our prayer should begin with a yielding to His power and saying, God, I don't know what it is that needs to be done, and I certainly can't do it myself. And so I'm trusting, I'm depending on your strength instead of on my own weakness. And so we need to begin connecting with God more deeply in our prayer by coming to Him, in our weakness, letting go of our strength and trusting and waiting on the Spirit to move. Another surprising secret to prayer is that prayer is less about asking and more about accepting. And again, if we think honestly about our prayer lives, we'll understand, we'll maybe admit that we do a lot of asking when we pray and not so much accepting. But maybe we need to start turning that around. Again, we like to be in control. We like to solve our own problems. And so we tell God what to do after we've got it all figured out. We come to this great conclusion about what we need, and then we go and we ask God to give it to us. Now, it's okay to pray about specific things. It's okay to ask God, you know, this is what exactly I think needs to be done in this situation. But I think before we pray about those specific things, we need first to go to God and ask, what is it that you want? And then as the Spirit begins to reveal what it is that God wants for us, then we can pray about that specific thing. In verse 26, Paul says, the Spirit intercedes for us. The Spirit intercedes for us. Which is an amazing gift. The Spirit prays for us. The Spirit prays through us. And again, we need to kind of remind ourselves, just as we've talked about in the past couple of weeks, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in the life of every single believer. If you follow Jesus Christ, the Spirit is at work in your life. And one of the things that the Spirit does is to help you pray. The Spirit intercedes for you. The Spirit shows up in your moments of need and helps you to pray. We believe that the Spirit is alive in each one of us. Last week we talked about the Spirit enabling us to honor Jesus through spiritual gifts, but the Spirit also helps us as we pray, and sometimes all we can pray in the midst of the difficulty and struggles of our lives is, Lord, I need you. Lord, help me. And in those moments, the Spirit can sort of take it from there. The Spirit can guide us and give us wisdom and fill us with God's grace. And your prayer life, I think, will grow deeper and more meaningful and more powerful when you let go of what you think you need and instead say to the Spirit, I'm ready to accept what you know is best. Less asking and more accepting. Now this brings us to the heart of the passage and maybe the part of the passage that makes you a little bit uncomfortable, but I think if you listen carefully here and you read deeply into what Paul is writing in these verses, you'll understand what he's saying. This powerful secret about the Spirit's role in how we pray, and that is that prayer has a language of its own, a language of its own. Paul writes that the Spirit intercedes for us through, and this translation says, wordless groans. Prayer is a language of its own. Now, I know that sometimes we pray memorized prayers. We heard the passage from the gospel reading earlier, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples, and we probably all have that memorized. And maybe you even pray that every day, and occasionally here in church or at other times of gathering to worship God, we publicly pray this prayer that Jesus taught us. And that's okay to pray a memorized prayer. Some people I know have the habit of reading through devotional books, and in those books are written prayers that are well crafted and polished, and there are the words right on the page, and you read them, and it's a beautiful prayer, and that's a good way to pray. But there are other times that we struggle to even put two words together when we're trying to pray. There have been times in my own life when I've felt so overwhelmed, so troubled by whatever it is I'm dealing with that I don't even know where to begin in my prayers. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what God can do for me. I'm not even sure which way to look for help. And all I can do is lay myself before God. Sometimes the messes of life are so twisted and tangled that we don't know what to say as we turn to God in our prayers. We can't find the words to express our needs, and all you can do is close your eyes and open up your heart. And in those moments when you are yielded, when you're weak, when you're needy, and you invite the Spirit to come in, then the Spirit can fill the silence of your heart with a spiritual language of prayer. And so what is that language? For some people, the prayer language that you use might be like speaking in tongues. And again, that might make some of you uncomfortable, but there are many followers of Jesus who speak as they pray in a heavenly language. And that is a biblical thing to do. And it might not be your experience, but it is for some people. It might be that the prayer language that the Spirit brings into your life is simply the quiet longing of your heart that the Spirit can fill in an awareness that the Spirit is there present with you. An awareness that the Spirit is whispering in your heart. And that might be the sort of prayer language that God allows you to experience as you pray in this way. You see, in those times of weakness, in those times of deepest need, the Spirit prays for us, deep in our hearts, deep in our souls. The Spirit is able to, as we quiet our own voice, the Spirit is able to speak in ways that we may not be able to explain or understand. But in ways that the Spirit brings comfort and peace and the assurance that God is at work and God knows what we need. All of this leads to a final truth about prayer. And that is that prayer seeks God's way, not my own way. Prayer seeks God's way. Prayer is about accepting, as we said before. Prayer is about God's will and God's way. I shared a couple of weeks ago that one of the ways you can know if you're growing in your faith is that your will begin to look and feel a lot more like God's will. The things you desire will look like the things that God desires for you, that those selfish inclinations that are at work in your heart will begin to become less and less, and in their place will become a desire to honor and to serve God in the ways that you live your lives. And Jesus taught us to pray, as we heard earlier, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I think sometimes we hear that sort of prayer, praying for God's will to be done, as sort of a giving up kind of prayer. Well, I don't know what to do. God, you just do whatever you want to do. But I don't think that's at all what Jesus had in mind when he taught us to pray for God's will to be done, for God's kingdom to come on this earth as it is in heaven. You see, when you pray for God's perfect will to be done, it's a prayer of agreement with God. It's a prayer of submission and trust. It's a prayer that says, God, I'm going to believe that what you can accomplish is, in fact, the right and best thing. And that is what I want to be done. It's not just a giving up prayer. It's a prayer that says, God, your will is, in fact, better than my will. And so help me to accept that. Help me to rejoice when your will is accomplished. Far too often we pray out of our own desires. We tell God what we want. We wait for him to give it to us. But truly powerful prayer never begins with me and my will. Truly powerful prayer always begins with God's will. And that's the promise of verse 27. It says, the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. If we're going to invite the Spirit to pray with us and through us and for us, then we should expect that the Spirit of God is going to pray in accordance with God's own will. Because why would the Spirit pray for anything other than what the Spirit knows is right and best for us? Now, I've done a lot of talking about prayer, but the best way to put these words into practice is, in fact, to spend a little bit of time in prayer. So, what is it that you're praying about today? What is it that is on your heart today? The Spirit knows, and you don't need to share it with anyone else who's sitting here today, but I do want to give you a moment, just in silence. We're going to spend just a minute or two in prayer. Maybe what's on your heart today is a concern about yourself or your family. Maybe it's an issue in the world around us. Maybe something you've seen on the news that's troubling you. Maybe your desire today is to draw closer to God, and that's what you feel the Spirit is inviting you to pray over. Whatever is on your heart, the Spirit is here with us right now, ready to hear your prayers, but also ready to help you pray. So we're going to take a moment just in silence, and I'll close our time in a minute. But if you would bow your heads and just enter into a moment of prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're at work in our hearts, that you fill our lives with your goodness and your power, that you're aware of the things that we face, the needs that we have, and that you do have a perfect will for our lives. And so, Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us and through us, that you would help us to pray, help us to turn to you with all of our needs. Teach us, Lord, to understand what Jesus meant when he prayed, "Your will be done." Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen.